Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. All of our programming is available in podcast form at kpcg.fm, thetrumpet.com, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. Here's a question for you that maybe you've thought about. Certainly some people have thought about it over the years. And the question is, what does the future hold for mankind? What does the future hold for mankind? What will the world look like in a year or two or three? Now, this question is asked in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. That's a free Bible Correspondence Course at thetrumpet.com. If you don't have that, please sign up for it and take it. It's a fantastic course. But it's a great question to ask and to consider. And the only place to find the answer to the question, what the future holds for mankind, is in God's Word, the Holy Bible. And now just look at how fearful people have become, especially recently. The threat of COVID-19, the media has really stirred the flames of that. People are quite nervous, quite concerned. You probably go out to the grocery store, maybe a restaurant, and there's the masks and so forth. People are really concerned. What about other things? What about financial problems? What about bigger global issues like nuclear war? More and more, people are concerned about what the future holds. The political scene is pretty divisive. Where is it all leading to? Well, in 1961, the late U.S. President John F. Kennedy warned a hushed United Nations Assembly. He said, "Mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind." And so President Kennedy had a good way with words, and that was something that really people remember. And it's the truth. There has to be a change in the way man operates, or else man's not going to continue on. And still, of course, nations around the earth continue to arm themselves. If you've been watching the news lately, you know that North Korea unveiled some missiles that many people didn't know they had. And North Korea is a very unstable country, of course. So the arms race continues. Mankind isn't walking away from nuclear destruction. We just keep walking further and further towards it. We keep getting closer towards it, but hope it doesn't happen. Hope that it doesn't happen. The Correspondence Course says the arms race is also spreading to outer space. America and Russia have each developed a killer satellite capable of blowing up or disabling other satellites. Other advanced countries are now quickly developing their space war technologies. Politicians and military experts generally agree that whoever gains military control of space will be able to rule the world. Many other bizarre, frightening weapons have been developed or are in various stages of development. These include the neutron bomb, the laser bomb, the pure fusion weapon, a clean H-bomb. Scientists say any of these weapons theoretically has enough destructive potential to annihilate all life on Earth. It's stunning to think about that truth, that reality. And, I mean, just think historically. Is there any weapon that mankind has developed that he has not eventually used? I mean, if it was good, if it was an effective weapon. I probably shouldn't say good. It's not good, but effective in what they want it to do. If it's been an effective weapon, hasn't it been used at some point? Well, that's what history shows us. If you go back to World War I, there was new and improved weapons that were being used. Advancements in machine guns, grenades, artillery, and essentially new weapons such as submarines, poison gas, warplanes, tanks. That's back in World War I. Those weapons now, of course, are common today. Common in warfare. But there was a time when it was new and it was used and it made war more destructive and more deadly. And now, of course, we have nuclear weapons. Truly frightening. Truly frightening. Mankind also faces man-made plagues. Man-made plagues. COVID-19 appears to be man-made from what reports say. Now imagine if it was designed to be even more powerful. Just think about that. Think about what would be happening. There are people that have died from it, but the numbers could be a lot higher. This has been something man has been working on for years, developing germ warfare. The correspondence course notes that Britain conducted limited biological weapons tests as early as 1941, when there was widespread fear that the Axis powers might use germ warfare. In one test, there was a remote island by the name of Grunard off the northwest coast of Scotland. It was sprayed with anthrax bacteria in 1942. So keep that date in mind, 1942. The targets were sheep, the poor sheep, which soon became infected and died. But the anthrax bacteria, it says, was so durable that the tiny isle was unsafe and quarantined until 1986. So that's 44 years later, 1942 to 1986. It says when cleanup efforts were to decontaminate it began. After removing topsoil, flooding the island with formaldehyde solution, and returning sheep to it that subsequently remained healthy, the island was finally declared safe in 1990. It was almost 50 years later, and that was just off of one test. I mean, you just look and you see what mankind is capable of. It says, because of the grave consequences arising from such experiments, some observers ominously conclude that to unleash biological agents in warfare would be to activate a doomsday countdown for our planet. You can add to that, of course, the corrupt food production, subsequent health problems that it causes. Boy, you know, this is really negative, isn't it? We could really be getting pretty negative. But it is to highlight the reality of where we're heading. So it shows that there has to be intervention. There has to be a stop put to this. Mankind has to be rescued. We've got to be rescued because look where we're heading. And we're going to be rescued. Notice Isaiah 40 and verse 10. And we have a few passages to look at today. So if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at these passages together and see what God's word says when we consider the question, what's in store for mankind? What's the future of mankind? Isaiah 40 and verse 10, it says, "Behold, the eternal God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." But the eternal is going to return. Christ is going to come with strong hand. He's going to come back. God has let mankind go their own way under the sway of Satan. Just about 6,000 years of history. We've tried and tried over the years to solve our problems our own way, and yet it hasn't worked. The only hope that any of us have is in the return of Christ. That's the only hope that we have. The Course says, the glorified Christ, returning with the splendor, supernatural power, and glory of God Almighty, coming to save mankind alive, coming to stop escalating wars, nuclear mass destruction, human pain and suffering, coming to usher in peace, abundant well-being, happiness, and joy for all mankind. Christ foretold of these horrific events about to be unleashed on mankind. And he also foretold of his return to put an end to man's destructive ways. So the Bible is full of prophecies that times would get very bad, and they would be as they are now and getting increasingly worse. But the hope in that, of course, is that Christ is going to return. He's going to return and put an end to the problems that we see and change mankind so that, again, the thinking is different. The way that we conduct ourselves is different. There has to be a lot changed, and Christ is going to return and change it. He has to. He absolutely has to. Notice this. The correspondence course says, but some will still object. They'll say, well, there have always been prophets of doom. You know, they'll hear this message, or they'll read it in other literature at the trumpet.com website, and they'll say, oh, there's always been prophets of doom. We've heard that before. Yes, yes, things are going to get bad. The quote says, people thought the world was coming to an end in the Middle Ages when the Black Death struck Europe. These skeptics simply do not understand God's timetable of prophecy. See, God has a timetable. It's all happening according to God's timetable. It doesn't happen according to what, you know, I would think would be good or what you might think. It happens according to God's timetable. It says the end of man's rule must and will come as God has scheduled it. Though some had ignorantly thought otherwise, the end of man's rule was not due in the Middle Ages. That wasn't the time for it. It says we need to understand that every prophecy has a definite time setting, usually not in the prophet's own day. Most prophecies of the Bible are yet to be fulfilled and are for our time. Jesus taught that there is a timetable of prophecy, that certain specific events must occur in the months and years ahead before he returns to rescue humanity from annihilation. See, there is a timetable of prophecy, specific events. They have to occur. They have to come to pass in a certain way, and then Christ will intervene. But see, there's a danger in complacency, because people can get into the attitude of scoffing or saying, well, you know, they've always talked about this. There's always been, you know, this thought that things would end. And look here, we still are. We're still here. We can become complacent. But there's a timetable of prophecy. And God is going to make sure that his prophecies are fulfilled. Every single word. Every single word. Notice this in Isaiah 30. Look at a passage here in Isaiah 30. The Laodiceans, and that's the time period that we're in, the Laodicean church era, the Laodiceans have become lukewarm about God's work and his prophecies. And of course, that falling away was also prophesied. If you don't know a lot about that, then you could request our free book, Malachi's Message. That's at thetrumpet.com. It's a free book, and it really will give you insight into this time period in which we live. But there's a danger again in getting complacent and falling away. And we don't want to be in that attitude. Notice Isaiah 30, starting in verse 8. It says, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the eternal, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Now, I mean, again, it is much more, I suppose, comfortable to hear good news and say, oh, everything's okay, don't worry, everything's fine, no problems, nothing to worry about. That might sound a little better, but the reality is that there is prophecy that foretells of some pretty bad things coming, difficult things coming, that man is bringing upon himself. There's great hope in the end, of course, with Christ's return, but still, these prophecies have to be talked about. They have to be given. And yet the spirit of the age is one of people not wanting to hear it. Again, notice in verse 9, it says it's rebellious people. They don't want to hear the law of the eternal. They just don't want to hear about it. People don't want to be told that maybe they're going the wrong direction. They don't want to hear the prophecies of God. They want the smooth things. They want deceits. Verse 11 of Isaiah 30 says, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. So they don't want to hear God's message. They don't want to hear it. They would rather hear smooth things. They don't want to hear about man's weaponry and the production of the weapons. They don't want to hear about some of the other problems going on in this world, because it's, again, it's not comfortable to talk about, understandably. But still, these prophecies have to be talked about. But they highlight the fact that Christ is about to return. He's going to return and put an end to things. And if he didn't return, mankind would annihilate himself, but he has to return. And Christ, his return is essential to save us from destroying ourselves. There is a definite need for it. Without his return, mankind would destroy himself. But again, we're in this age where people don't want to hear those prophecies. Mr. Fleury writes about this passage in Isaiah 30 that we just read in his book on Isaiah, which again is a free book at thetrumpet.com. And he writes, the crisis is far greater than most people think. That's because these verses, the ones that we just read, refer to God's own people who are in danger of losing their salvation. This applies to Israel in a general way, but to God's own church specifically. And when he says Israel there, of course, he's talking about the modern nations of Israel, which includes the nation called Israel today in the Middle East, which is actually Judah, the tribe of Judah, Ephraim and Manasseh, the United States and Britain, these other nations, Western nations. You can learn about that in the United States and Britain in prophecy. So that's the general attitude. They don't want to hear these warning messages. But specifically, this is applying to God's own Laodicean people, where they don't want to hear it. And it's so severe for them, the danger is so heightened for them, because those that God has called and have been baptized and such, they're in danger of losing their salvation if they turn away from God and if they don't want to hear these prophecies and respond to them. Mr. Fleury continues and says, the expression lying children in verse 9 is translated this way in the Interpreter's Bible, sons who deny their sonship. That is a terribly serious charge, he says. So people that were called into the family of God and they deny their sonship, they don't even want to be part of it anymore. Very serious danger there, of course. He says that is a terribly serious charge. And then he says, even from his youth, Christ was doing his Father's business. You can read about that in Luke 2 and verse 49. All of the Laodiceans are failing to do their Father's business. There is work that we have to do. We have to do God's work. We have to be supporting it. We have to be involved in it. That's what Christ did. He did his Father's business. We have to be doing that as well. We have to understand that these prophecies of what is coming upon this earth, and they're sober warnings, and you can read about them in Matthew 24 and other places. We've covered them before, but sober warnings. But they also are full of the greatest hope. And for those that God has called and is working with today, we have to support God's work in giving God's message to the world. We have to really support that. We don't want to get into this attitude of being complacent and feeling like, well, you know, there's always been trouble. It's always been bad. It's not any worse today than it's ever been before. There's that danger and that complacency. We do live in this age where it's the Laodicean era. And again, just to reiterate, look at Isaiah 30. We just read this, verse 8. It says, now go write it before them at a table and note it in a book. Why did it have to be written down? That it may be for the time to come forever and ever, so that we would understand it in our time today. That this is a rebellious people, it says, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. They don't want to hear God's word. They deny their sonship. And when they hear prophecies, when they hear about some of these dangerous times in which we live, they say, well, we don't want to hear it. They say to the seers, see not, don't even look at it. Don't talk to us about it. And they say to the prophets, don't even prophesy unto us right things. You can talk to us, but give us a good message. Tell us something positive. Tell us something happy. And of course, God's prophecies are full of true joy and happiness and positivity, but there is a warning there as well. They don't want to hear the warning. That's the attitude of this Laodicean era. And again, the desire is to hear smooth things, and they want to hear deceitful prophecies. Things that just are not true. And we have to make sure that we are not falling prey to that same sort of thinking, that we're not getting complacent, but that in fact we really are supporting God's work, putting our all into his work, just like Christ did. That's the example, again, in Luke 2 and verse 49. Christ was about his Father's business. He was supporting that work. He was helping to warn the world. There are some very difficult times coming upon this earth. And the ultimate hope, of course, is in the return of Christ, which is essential. It's essential for mankind to survive, because otherwise, look at all the difficulties with nuclear weapons, biological weapons, and so forth. Mankind wouldn't survive. We absolutely need Christ's return. And if we're going to be part of the solution to the world's problems, And if we're going to help Christ in governing this earth, we have to be supporting his work now and doing his work now and not becoming complacent, not burying our heads in the sand and saying, well, just prophesy smooth things, prophesy deceits. Well, we need to hear the truth of God and we need to respond to it. We need to respond to it. And when we do that, we're going to really see the hope in all of these prophecies, all this time that we live in. Yes, it's bad now, but it's leading to the return of Christ. That's the ultimate good news. That's what we're all looking forward to. That's what everyone needs to happen. And the more we support God's work, the more we speed that day to where we can finally put an end to all the war and the violence and the destruction. And Christ can again begin to re-educate this earth and teach them the truth of God. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.